بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. الحمد لله. Today is the 2nd of August in the year 2020. Alhamdulillah, we moved on to the 14th session that we're going through the commentary of the glorious Surah Al-Isra. And I've reached verse 53 of the blessed Surah. So inshallah today, going through up to and including verse 57. So verse 53, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Say to my servants that they should only say those things that are best, for shaitan does sow dissensions amongst them. For shaitan is to man an avowed enemy. So here in this holy verse, Allah the Almighty and Glorious is mentioning that one of the ways that shaitan causes dissension amongst brothers and sisters is through their tongue. And he mentions, subhanahu wa ta'ala, speak what is best. Otherwise, shaitan gets a foothold. So in fact, there's many reports, just to mention one. Our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw two graves in the Sahih. And he said, these two are being punished, but you all considered them to be small matters. One is, he was a tale bearer. And the second, he was careless in urination. So if you look at this hadith, the first category the Prophet mentioned who was being punished in the grave was the tale bearer. So who's a tale bearer? A tale bearer is not a liar. He doesn't have to be a liar. But he doesn't verify. So he hears something and he spreads it. So technically, he's not a liar. He just heard something. But if you don't verify it, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you become a liar. So there's an example of sowing dissension, i.e., and also in Surah Hujurat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that if a fasiq brings you news, verify it, lest you harm people out of ignorance. So note, Allah ta'ala calls that person a fasiq, who actually just spreads without even verification. But also, there's another passage in Surah 41, verse 33. And if you can live up to this verse, you've been given the ultimate praise. So the translation of the verse is, who is better in speech than one who calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, works righteous deeds, and says, I am a Muslim. So here Allah the Almighty and Glorious is saying that this is the best person. And there's three conditions for you to be the best. The first is, you call. Da'a. You call others to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the da'i. The second is, you do righteous deeds. And the third is, you're a Muslim. If you've got those three, Allah ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَحْسُنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَىٰ إِلَى اللَّهِ. And this is why Hasan al-Basri, rahmatullah alayh, in Abd al-Razzaq and Ibn Kathir's tafsir, he recited this verse and he said, this is the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the Khalil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the chosen one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the most beloved of all the people of the earth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has responded to the call of Allah. Call mankind to that to which he has responded. He does righteous deeds in response to the call and says, I am the Muslim. I am amongst the Muslims. This undoubtedly is the Khalif of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth. So look at this immense place. Hasan al-Basri said, Habibullah, Khalilullah, the chosen one of Allah, the beloved of Allah. And what has given you all those titles? And Khalilullah, Khalifatullah, i.e. the Khalif of Allah on the earth, is these three categories. So note how great a deed it is to call others to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So note, this is the greatest thing you could do with your tongue, i.e. to invite others to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you go back to this verse, verse 53, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, say to my servants that they should only say those things that are best. Allah Ta'ala is encouraging you to do this, i.e. to become a da'i, i.e. to your capability. Verse 54, it is your Lord that knows you best. If He pleases, He grants you mercy. or if he pleases, punishment. We have not sent you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to be a disposer of their affairs for them. So now, few points. Man should never for a single moment entertain a thought that would imply that he was wiser than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is all-embracing. If he grants mercy to some that you consider wicked, or punishment to others you consider righteous, it is your knowledge or your deductions that are at fault, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's righteous plan. So this is what happens. For example, if you go to the Seerah, why did Abu Sufyan ibn Harb get guidance, radiyallahu, and why did Abu Talib not get guidance? How many times people ask me that question? So, what are you actually thinking? What's your thought? If you strip it down to the nuts and bolts, you've got a bad thought about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, if you think about that, Allah ta'ala gave guidance to Abu Sufyan, and you're upset with it. Why didn't he give it to Abu Talib? Who are you, brother? Astaghfirullah. So here, Allah ta'ala is saying, in verse 54, it is your Lord that knows you best. If he please, he grants mercy. If he please, punishment. We have not sent you to be a disposer of their affairs for them. Think about that. Right? So again, you know, we don't go into it. We just do what we need to do. I pass the message on and leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows best where to put the guidance. And what's interesting about this is that you've got fadl, grace, and you've got justice. So, when somebody receives the guidance, this is grace. When somebody gets punished, that's justice. Just two deeds, two attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, how do we know this? So, this is very forcefully highlighted in a very powerful hadith. So, this narration is in Abu Dawood, Imam Ahmad's Musnad. And it's Sahih, in Sahih al-Jami, number 5244. Our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to punish the inhabitants of his heavens and the inhabitants of his earth, then he would certainly punish them, and this would entail no injustice on his part ever. And if he was to show them mercy, then his mercy for them would be for better for them than their own deeds. So look how powerful this narration is. Allah the Almighty and Glorious is giving you hypotheticals. If I was to punish everybody without exception on the earth, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he would not show any injustice. Where's that one at? Right? So think of a very pious person, the Prophets, sinless. If Allah ta'ala was to punish them, put them in the fire, he wouldn't be unjust. How are you going to explain that with your limited mind? Your limited mind goes, they haven't committed sins. Why are they getting punished? That's your limited mind. Now you're thinking ill of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You think, why is he put him in hell? Who are you, brother? Again, where have you popped out from? Allah ta'ala, his knowledge is dominant. And similarly, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and if he was to give you mercy, that is greater than your deeds. Nobody earns paradise. Now think about this. It's a catchphrase now. You should really reflect upon that statement. You cannot earn paradise. Now think about that. You know, if you really think about that, how is that? How priceless is paradise? No matter what you do, if you've got the deeds of a prophet, you've earned nothing. You can't earn paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, nobody enters paradise except by the grace and mercy of Allah. Because not even you, Ya Rasulullah, because not even I, except by the grace and mercy. We can't earn paradise. Think about that. You could live trillion lifetimes, live sinless lives, you've earned nothing. And yet we talk about paradise as if we, like, you know, it's our right. Astaghfirullah. So what is that place that you can't earn? That's all you really need to know about Jannah, your destination. You can't earn it. Forget about your little deeds that you bring in your lifetime. But the deeds are important. So here, this is the grace. And to explain further, in Ibn Hibban Abu Nu'im Sahih, in As-Sahiha, number 3200, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would condemn me sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Isa alayhi salatu wa salam for our lapses, he would then punish us and would not then be unjust to us in the least. So the Prophet ﷺ highlighted two. So he said, if Allah Ta'ala took me to task for my lapses, because they're protected from sin, Allah Ta'ala would take me to task, He would punish me and Jesus Christ if for His lapses, and He would not be unjust in the least. Think about that. So simply put, if Allah Ta'ala puts you in hell, you can't grumble. Think about that. Doesn't that send a shiver down your spine? You could do what you want with it. If He takes you to hell, you deserve it. He's not shown any injustice. And at the same time, if He takes you to paradise, you can't earn it. So where does that leave you? He leaves you in an utter state of servitude. You're a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But His mercy is greater than His wrath. Allah has made that binding upon Himself subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, note verse 54. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reiterates this. It is your Lord that knows you best. If He please, He grants you mercy. If He please, punishment. We have not sent you to be a disposer of the affairs for them. So now Abu Talib. So there is a verse, I don't want to go into it any great length. Surah 28 verse 56. So in Surah 28 verse 56, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions there very clearly in the Quran. It is true that you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will not be able to guide everyone whom you love. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides those whom He wills. And He knows best those who receive guidance. Look how clear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it. Allah ta'ala says to His beloved, you can't guide everyone you love. So who does He love? Of course He loved, humanity, but immediate family members first and foremost. Could He guide Abu Talib? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Could He guide Abu Lahab? These are His uncles. No. So Allah ta'ala says, you can't do that. I guide whom I will, and I know best where to put the guidance. Right? Think about that. Even Rasulullah couldn't do it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So why is that important to highlight? It's His mercy. Allah Ta'ala's knowledge is dominant. Why isn't it? For example, Abu Jahl, what a strange creation. He goes, I know he's the Prophet of God. But I'm not going to accept it. What sort of an amazing statement is that? Right? Meaning, mentioned about Huyay ibn Akhtab, our beloved mother's father, Safiya's father. Is it him? By God, it's him. He's, what are you going to do? I'm going to oppose him. You can't put guidance. Allah Ta'ala is the one who puts guidance into people's hearts. When Abu Talib passed away, Bilal, to comfort the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he smiled. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked, why are you smiling, O Bilal? He goes, Ya Rasulullah, if it was in your hands, and you were given a choice between Abu Talib and me, you would have given guidance to Abu Talib. And the Prophet didn't say anything. So Bilal was comforting the Prophet, meaning Allah Ta'ala is the one. He has no blood ties with anybody. He gives the guidance to whom He sees fit. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verse 55. And it is your Lord that knows best all beings that are in the heavens and on earth. We have bestowed on some prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, more gifts than on others. And we gave Dawood, alayhi salatu wasalam, the Zabur. So here, in this holy verse, verse 55, Allah the Almighty in glory is mentioning that He's given some prophets more gifts than others. And He mentions one as an example. Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam was given the Zabur. So now this is important. Hafiz ibn Kathir, he elaborated here. So he recited the verse 55, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْدَ النَّبِيِّينَ عَلَىٰ بَعْدٍ. And indeed, we have preferred some of the prophets above others. And then he recites another verse, Surah 2, verse 253, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَنْ قَلَّمَ اللَّهِ وَرَفَعَ بَعْدَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٍ. Those messengers, alayhi salatu wasalam, we preferred some to others. To some, Allah Ta'ala spoke direct. Others, He raised to degrees. So the Quran clearly states that they're not all the same, the prophets. Some have been honored above others. So now, there's a point here. First of all, what do we need to know about the prophets? So there's a report. So this narration is in Tirmidhi, number 3615, Hassan Sahih, Ibn Majah, number 4308, Ahmad Ibn Hibban, Abu Ya'la, our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, I, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am the best of the children of Adam. And I say this without pride. I, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, am the Sayyid of the children of Adam. I, the leader, the Imam. And I say this wala fakhr, without pride. So the Prophet made it clear. I am the greatest of the prophets. Well, then he quickly said, I'm not saying it with pride. In other words, don't think these thoughts. I have to tell you this. So somebody goes to you, is Rasulullah the most honored, the greatest of the prophets? Yes. Who said that? He said that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not been deduced by, you know, by people. So now, Hafiz Ibn Kathir then said, but there's a hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, La tufaddilu bayn al-anbiya. Do not give superiority to any prophet amongst the prophets. So this is the problem. If you go to the hadith, without commentary, you'll get confused. So what will people say? Oh, I reject that hadith. Why? Because that hadith contradicts the Quran. Why does it contradict the Quran? What did the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't give superiority, don't, to any prophet amongst the prophets. Because don't make differences between them. Yes. And the Quran says, we have preferred some prophets above others. We preferred them. We've elevated some above others. So there's a contradiction. So Hafiz Ibn Kathir explained, rahmatullah alayh, what is meant in the hadith is giving superiority based on whims and fanaticism, sectarian feelings, not on the basis of evidence. Have you understood? So somebody goes to you, I believe that Christ was honored above others. So why do you say that? He has not got a father. Is that a proof? Right? That's just your fancy. That's what the Prophet prohibited. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is meant in this hadith is given a superiority based on whims, fanaticism, sectarian feelings, not on the basis of evidence. Then Ibn Kathir said, if there is solid evidence, we follow it. There is no dispute that the messengers are better than the rest of the prophets, and that the mighty messengers, Ulul Azm, of great resolve, are the best of them all. So let's explain what he's saying. So Hafiz Ibn Kathir, he's saying that the prophets, they're the best. The messengers amongst them are great, and the chosen messengers are the greatest of them all. So what do we need to know about this? So there's a report. So the hadith mentions, so this is recorded in Ahmad Tabarani Ibn Hibban, and it's Sahih in As-Sahiha, number 2668. Our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, the number of prophets, alayhi salatu wa sallam, is 124,000. From this number, the messengers, alayhi salatu wa sallam, are 315. A very large number. So let's look at this. So this is this Sahih? Yes, Sahih Hadith. So how many prophets are there? 124,000. Of all those blessed prophets, alayhi salatu wa salam, 315 were messengers. So if you put that into a fraction, that's less than 1%. Right? But then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a very large number. The messengers were a large number, meaning they were so great. So now, what did Ibn Kathir say? Ibn Kathir said, the prophets who are greater than the prophets, the messengers, because they're chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are greater than the messengers, the five great ones. Where are the five great ones mentioned? In two places in the Quran. In Surah 33, verse 7, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَإِذَ أَخَذْنَا مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ مِيثَاقَهُمْ وَمِنْكَ وَمِنْ نُوحٍ وَإِبْرَاهِيمُ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمُ And when we took from the prophets their covenant, from you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from Nuh, alayhi salatu wa sallam, Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wa sallam, Musa, alayhi salatu wa sallam, and Isa, the son of Maryam, alayhi salatu wa sallam. So how many is mentioned there? Five. They're the greatest. In another place, Surah 42, verse 13, the translation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He has ordained for you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the same religion which He ordained for Nuh, and that which we have revealed to you, and that which we ordained for Ibrahim, Musa, and Isa, alayhi salatu wasalam, saying you should establish the religion and make no divisions in it. So the five ulul azm, they call the great ones. Then Ibn Kathir said, rahmatullah alayhi, there is no dispute that Muhammad is the greatest, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, then Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam, then Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, then Isa, according to the best known view. So the majority of scholars, in fact all the scholars agree, the greatest is our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Then the majority say that the second greatest is Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam. The third is Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam. And the fourth is Isa, alayhi salatu wasalam. These are in order of rank. And this is the best known view. So just to mention why Ibrahim, where's the overriding proof that he's the second greatest, alayhi salatu wasalam. So can you think of any proof? MashaAllah, you can just mention the Isra and Miraj. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, when he ascended into the heavens, he saw the prophets. Who did he see at the highest level? Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam. That's one proof. Any other proofs? MashaAllah. Good. So the Prophet ﷺ was asked, who did he resemble, Ya Rasulullah? Ibrahim. The Prophet ﷺ said, he resembled your companion. So out of all the Prophets, who looked like the Prophet ﷺ? Ibrahim. Allah Ta'ala did that deliberately. Another proof. Durood Sharif. Which Prophet do you mention in your Durood? It's actually called Durood Ibrahim. Why is no other Prophet mentioned? Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidun Majid. So again, second greatest, the third Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, because he was given the Torah, Allah Ta'ala chose. The fourth, Jesus Christ. Now what's interesting, Nuh is the fifth, and yeah, he lived the longest alayhi salatu wasalam. So it's not to do with age, it's to do with the sacrifice, the status, what they've given for Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is not to belittle the others. You understand? This is just fact, because the evidence indicates this. Okay. So, and in this verse, verse 55, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, to Dawood we gave the Zabur. Now look how interesting. He's not one of the five. In verse 55, Allah ta'ala mentions one, that he's favored above others. And he's gone out of the five. He goes, Dawood, I gave the Zabur. Alayhi salatu wasalam. I was very interested. Zabur is one of the scripture. You would have expected a holy prophet who was given scripture to be amongst the five. He's not amongst the five. So that doesn't mean that because you've received scripture, that you are great, you are the greatest. So obviously, Ibrahim was given the Suhuf, alayhi salatu wasalam. Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, was given the Torah and the commandments. Isa was given, alayhi salatu wasalam, the Injil. Nuh, he's the fifth greatest one. Did he receive a scripture? If he did, please let me know. Right? But Dawood has been given the Zabur. He's not in the top five. Now what's interesting, just to mention this. In Surah 38, verse 18. Surah 38, verse 18, about the Zabur, which is worth mentioning. Just a translation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it was we that made the mountains declare in unison with him our praises at evening and at the break of day. Verse 19. And the birds gathered in assemblies, all with him, did they turn eye to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in these two clear verses, Surah 38, verse 18 and 19, Allah the Almighty and Glorious talks about Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, and he mentions that the mountains used to do zikr with him. Mountains. So imagine, right, in unison, in one wave. And the Quran then says, the birds would gather They listen. So the mountains would join him when he would recite the Zabur. And also the birds would come and gather when he would recite the Zabur. So what is the Quran clearly highlighting about his voice? His voice was something else. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So not only was he given the Zabur, his voice was something really that you can't describe to a human being. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam once listened to Abu Musa al-Ashari radiyallahu anhu, and he said in Sahih Bukhari, he's been given one of the mizmar, from the mizmar of Ahl Dawood. He's been given one of the flutes, from the family of Dawood, alayhi salatu wasalam. Now this hadith doesn't mean that you can use the flute, like some crackpots say. You see him? Mizmar, right? Well, is that... Why did the Prophet use that term? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because his voice was unearthly. In other words, normally you need, you know, instruments to further beautify. You understand? Because he was something else. Not just him, his family. Alayhi salatu wasalam. He goes, he had such a heavenly voice. But the greatest of all voices was Rasulullah. In Sahih Bukhari, Bara ibn Azib radiyallahu anhu said that I've never heard anybody recite more beautifully than Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? He was given the best of everything. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His beauty was partly hidden. Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu anhu said that somebody said to Sayyidah Aisha radiyallahu anhu, Yusuf alayhi salatu wa sallam was given all beauty. The Prophet said that. Half of all beauty. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the question was, well, what about our Prophet? So Aisha radiyallahu anha said that the women cut their hands when they saw the beauty of Yusuf. The Quran mentions that. They were cutting some citrus fruit, oranges, whatever. When they saw Yusuf alayhi salatu wa sallam, they kept cutting, and they cut themselves. Because they were just in awe of his beauty. As an Aisha goes, they would have cut their iota if the veil was removed from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning you die. His beauty was veiled. And what's shocking about that? Despite the fact that his beauty was veiled, when you describe the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's perfect. It's perfection. So not again, you know, he was given honor above others. He's the Sayyid of the sons of the children of Adam, alayhi salatu wa sallam. Verse 56. Say, call on those besides him whom you fancy. They have neither the power to remove your troubles from you, nor to change them. Verse 57. Those whom you call, or they call upon, do desire for themselves means of access to their Lord, even those who are nearest. They hope for His mercy and fear His wrath. For the wrath of your Lord is something to take heed of. So these two verses, what is our Lord highlighting here, subhanahu wa ta'ala? He's addressing all of the unbelievers. And he's saying that those whom you call upon, they have no power to remove your trouble, nor can they change it. Then he says, those whom you call upon, they desire to be near to me. They desire to be near to me. And they hope for my mercy, fear my wrath. For the wrath of your Lord is something to be taken seriously. So now a few commentaries. In Ibn Jarir, Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Ibn Abbas, he recited verse 56. قُلِ الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُم مِّن دُونِهِ Say, call on those besides whom you fancy. He explained. The people of shirk used to say, we worship the angels, alayhi salatu wasalam. We worship the Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam. We worship Uzair, alayhi salatu wasalam. Whilst these themselves called upon Allah. So Ibn Abbas says, because you're calling upon servants who are prostrated to Allah. Think about that. You know, how foolish is that? Who are you worshipping? The angels. But they're worshipping Allah. Who are you worshipping? Christ. But he fell on his face and prayed. Who are you worshipping? Was that? You worship. Why are you? The logic is completely faulty. Ibn Abbas was explaining radiyallahu. Also in another report. In Sahih Bukhari, number 4704, Sahih Muslim, number 7554, Abdullah ibn Abbas recited verse 57. أولئك الذين يدعون يبتغون إلى ربهم الوسيلة أيهم أقرب ويرجون رحمته ويخافون عذابه. Those whom they call upon, themselves desire a means to their Lord. Even those who are nearest, they hope for His mercy, fear His wrath. Ibn Abbas explained. This was revealed regarding some jinns who used to be worshipped by human beings. The jinns later embraced Islam, whilst those foolish people kept worshipping the jinn. So what happened? People, they worship the jinn. In China, one of the main religions is to worship the jinn. We worship our fathers. And the jinn come in the images of their fathers, just to give them more grief in it, right? But anyway, so what happened? Those jinn embraced Islam. So Allah Ta'ala then revealed this verse. Those whom they call upon desire a means to their Lord. Because look how foolish. The ones that you worship, they've repented. You're still worshipping them. And this is recorded in Bukhari and Muslim. And also in Ibn Jarir in his Tafsir 14:6-8, Ibn Abbas said, radiallahu anhu, people used to make dua to the angels, Uzair and Isa, alayhi salatu wasalam. Thus Allah the Almighty said, those whom you call upon, they try to get close to me, just like you try to gain closeness to me. They hope for my mercy, just like you hope for my mercy. They fear my punishment, just like you fear my punishment. Think about that. Let's go to the greatest. Didn't our beloved messenger always want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yes. Do you want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yes. Didn't our beloved messenger hope for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yes. Don't you hope for the mercy of Allah? Yes. Didn't our beloved messenger hope or fear the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yes. Then how can he be worshipped? How can he be worshipped? Look at the logic, right? He goes, what's happened to you? The very objects of your worship are fearing me just like you're fearing me. Right? You're all my creations. Well, at the last time, I reasoned with the children of Adam and also the jinn, alayhi salatu wasalam. So look how beautiful, after mentioning the prophets, the elevated, honorable prophets, the ranks amongst them, now he's going to the foolish people. In other words, you know, even though they are elevated, they've been given honor by me, they're still my servants. Don't worship them. He always warns you about that. And our beloved messenger, you know, he took extra precautions. What did he say? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Towards the end of his holy life when he was leaving the world. He says, may Allah Ta'ala curse the Jews and Christians because they took the graves of their prophets as places of worship. What was the prophets? Why was he saying that? Because he was leaving the world and he was warning his ummah, don't take my grave as a place of worship. Allah Ta'ala cursed the Jews and Christians. But the tragedy is, the Prophet knew that you're going to do it. Why? Because he goes, you will follow them. Famous hadith. You will follow them. Like a lizard goes back into his hole. And the Sahaba goes, follow who, Ya Rasulullah? The Jews and Christians. He goes, who else? So what combined the reports? Do not take my grave as a place of worship. Meaning, I'm not an object of worship. But then he sadly says, but you're still going to do it. But you have to remember that using our beloved messenger as a wasila to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is excellent. It's when you think that the Prophet independently can fulfill any needs. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? So again, this is important. Why? Because if you look at this verse, Allah Ta'ala uses a very interesting word. In verse 57. يَبْتَهُونَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمُ الْوَسِيلَ. They desire a wasila to their Lord. Who desires a wasila to their Lord? The angels, the prophets, they're teaching you this path that Allah Ta'ala sanctioned. No problem. Right? But they are not to be taken as objects of worship. A'udhu billah. Allah Ta'ala preserve us from this. Amen. So I'll recite the verse. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقل لعبادي يقولوا التي هي أحسن إن الشيطان ينزغ بينهم Inna shaitana kana lil insani aduwwan mubina. Rabbukum a'lamu bikum. Iyasha yarhamukum aw iyasha yu'adhibukum. Wama arsalnaka alihim wakila. وَرَبُّكَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَقَدْ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَ النَّبِيِّينَ عَلَى بَعْضٍ وَآتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ زَبُورًا قُلِ ادْعُوا الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُم مِّن دُونِهِ فَلَا يَمْلِكُونَ كَشْفَ الضُّرِّ فَلَا يَمْلِكُونَ كَشْفَ الضُّرِّ عَنكُمْ وَلَا تَحْوِيلًا أولئك الذين يدعون يبتغون إلى ربهم الوسيلة أيهم أقرب ويرجون رحمته ويخافون عذابه إن عذاب ربك كان محذورا. We pray to Almighty Allah SWT that He makes the Quran the Rabbi of our hearts. And I pray to Almighty Allah SWT that He forgives me for any errors which I may have inadvertently uttered. سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات والتواصوا بالحق والتواصوا بالصبر